Malachi, in the first chapter of his prophecy, berates the people for offering to the Lord the sacrifice of torn, lame, and sick animals, rather than giving God the best. God deserves our best, such we should bring. Thus I proceed to the story. At a missionary convention a few years ago, I was helping the missionaries set up their displays and exhibits of curios. And Miss Beulah Hartwick, a nurse who has served the Lord for many years in one of America's own neglected fields, the Navajo Indian, Miss Hartwick placed on the table an almost forgotten piece of footwear, a nicely made pair of high-button shoes. One was tempted to say, as did a character of ill repute, this could have been sold and the money given to the poor. But it was included in that fantastic assortment of amazement known by every church and missionary society, the missionary barrel. Now, this was not an example of what the Navajo Indians wear, or the type of thing which will win them to the Lord, but rather a classic but ironic example of what the Navajos cannot use nor appreciate as Christian charity. It is also what the Africans, the Chinese, the South Americans, the Mexicans, the Alaskans, and the Hindus cannot wear nor appreciate. I picked up those old relics of a more conservative day, not entirely unappreciative of the fine leather and craftsmanship, but the old shoes seem somehow miserable to find themselves in this embarrassing position. I am sure that their disgrace weighs heavily upon them, though neither dusty nor scuffed. They are, by their unused condition, the symbol of useless giving, of giving that cost nothing, therefore meant nothing, therefore blessed nothing. I held them a moment, a bit embarrassed myself for the shoes, for the thoughtless donor unknown to me, but well known to the Lord. They seemed to speak. I thought that I should remember their story so that you might learn by it. I might tell it again to my children, and their children, they on to theirs, for it might be a good story for everyone who is interested in missions and missionary giving. I had to listen quite closely to catch it, for the high-button shoes have no tongue, but their recitation, I am sure, came from the soul. And so I should like to tell to you, as 'twas to me by the old pair themselves, the fancy tale of the high-button shoes. It is plain to see, sir, that we were well made. And as our style is quite dated, you realize that we are past the half-century mark by quite a bit. It was in a cobbler's shop, bright and sunny by a little window that looked over the main street of a small New England village that we were made. The cobbler, a bright and sunny man himself, sang as he fashioned us, even whistled at times. As he cut and stitched and turned us into shape, he looked out over the street, waving now and then to a passerby. When a small boy stopped and watched him, he might call him inside, show him how to hold a shoe as you stitch it, and say intently, "Lad! Would you like to be a shoemaker?" And if the boy would reply, "No, sir, I would rather be a blacksmith," the shoemaker would shake me towards him and say, "Ha, I'm glad I'm not a blacksmith. Imagine making my customer stand with one leg in the air while I shoe them." But we were well made. Carefully put together, our buttons sewed on with stout thread, our heels cut and shaped by hand. We were not to be just anyone's shoes. We were made for the customer. A happy-voiced young lady who clapped her hands delightedly when she saw us, then kissed the old shoemaker and cried, "Uncle John, why, they're just what I wanted. These are my honeymoon shoes." And so we were. When the fragile wedding slippers were put away after the ceremony, we were worn for the going-away occasion. We sauntered carefree and easy while she clung to his arm, out of the house, into the carriage, down to the station, away on the train, across the soft rug of the big hotel lobby, down by the beach, the narrow sidewalk along the gardens, back home again. Then we became accustomed to marketing. The board sidewalk, the butcher's floor with fresh sawdust, the tile hardness of the grocers, the kitchen, the living room, the closet where we were kept. We became accustomed to the smell of polish, the soft buffing of an old rag on Saturday night, the church on Sunday, the falling leaves of autumn and the first flakes of snow in winter, slush and ice, and spring again and green lawns. Then we found ourselves in a new room on the house. The nursery was pink. The floor was shiny and clean. We we began after a while to show signs of wear. We were set aside for a time. One day we felt ourselves pulled out of the darkness into the light. "Why, sure, I'll have the shoemaker fix them," she cried. And back to the cobbler's bench we were hustled with a whole mountain of worn, scuffed, dull, and somewhat smelly shoes. Somehow or other, we were never the same after that. We were worn a few times. If the session were long, we were yanked off unceremoniously and allowed to lie on the floor as though distasteful to our mistress. We finally slept dusty and forlorn on the closet floor, then were transferred to a box, moved to the attic, then into a trunk, then to the cellar, then forgotten. It was there we hid for years, very quiet there. One day the lid of the trunk flew open. Light poked its way down through the assorted clothes and souvenirs and old party decorations on top of us. A hand went exploring down the side of the trunk. Then right down through the middle, we could hear a voice saying, "Something for the missionaries, the heathen." Huh. What in the world? A flood of light hit us as the bolt of cloth somewhere above us was moved. Said a voice, "Forgot about that. Can't give that. Make that into a nice little blouse for myself. Let's see. Jim's old sweater, he can wear that in the garden. These old hats, oh, I'll do those over someday. Baby clothes, why, Mary will love these. Might as well get some good out of them. Missionaries, Let's see. Indians. Heathens. Oh, my, what for them? This is just right. Grandma Flagg's old shoes. High-button shoes, aren't they? A scream. They'll be just right for the heathen. They'll probably think they're fancy. Well, this is one way to get rid of some old junk. Let's see, anything else I don't want? Might as well give that. It was then that the old high-button shoes kind of squirmed in my hand. They looked at me with their black, shiny buttons and said, "Sir, we were humiliated." And I was a trifle ashamed myself. I began to scan through the barrel of my contributions and wondered if I gave because it was something I didn't want or couldn't use or just have to give something to mark down as contribution on the income tax. A cup of water in my name, said Jesus, will not lose its reward, but even that cup of cold water must be worth something to be valuable. A cup of water to a drowning man? That wouldn't be of any value. A cup of cold water when the man needed hot soup or steak and I could give it? Or a cup of cold water in his name when I could have given a whole stream of living water? Ah, no, the easiest way out, the business of giving just to give something, that's not a blessed thing. But the old shoes were not to be denied. Having started their tale, they wanted to finish it. And so, they said, we were dumped in a barrel with a lot of other stuff, some good, some very poor. We finally made the mission. As the barrel was open, we could hear children laughing and clapping their hands. The somewhat dubious grunt of the elders, the optimistic tone of the missionary, "This is given in Jesus' name by Christians who want to help you." Well, ours was probably a poor barrel. When we came into view, it made us sensitive of our age to hear the children say, "What's that?" And an old lady grunt, "Huh, nobody want that." And some Indian muttered, "That's Christian gift, huh, no good." We lay unnoticed on the floor except by a little girl who tried to put us on and laughed until she almost choked. We watched the little folks sing over a few bright toys that worked. Some were made happy by warm, mended, clean clothes with some wear left in them. A mother got some new things for her baby and she was glad. We wondered about the hand that dropped this in the box as a gift in Jesus' name. Would she ever learn that anything given in Jesus' name has to cost something, be something, mean something, more than just another way to clean the house of useless junk? Such is the fancy tale of the high-button shoes as was told to me by the old pair themselves. And if 'twould be that in heaven we must wear some part or counterpart of the things we give to Jesus, as they asserted in the story that delighted my childish heart, heaven will be a strange place indeed. Moth-eaten overcoats and ragged dresses and buttonless vests. I think the figure purely imaginary, though I am sure that rewards and loss of rewards will be meted to all believers, but it makes interesting speculation. We could know each other by the gifts we give in Jesus' name. Walking down the street, we might hail each other. Hello, Raggedy! Good morning, last year's hat. Hello there, worn-out sweater, or hi, button shoes.